You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, last chance for announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Romans today, chapter 15, verses 18 through 28. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. And Father God, we ask for your blessing of this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name, for his sake, we pray. Amen.
Now, Sip and I went out to Lake Thunderbird yesterday, and we had our first kayaking for the season, which was beautiful. It was very nice out there. It was basically a milk pond for most of the time. We had a little bit of wind once or twice, but we were out there with all the coots, and they were doing their thing, you know, fluttering their wings and then doing their water walk, you know, as they took off in front of us. And it was beautiful. And then when we went around the sort of sides of the shore, there were various people we could see through the woods making their walks. And some of them got a bit of a surprise to see us. And, hey, good day for a yak. And they were very friendly. And it was nice. And we enjoyed ourselves. And I thought, boy, isn't it great to be living in a state where there's all this nice wilderness and areas where you can enjoy yourself and have some freedom, you know. Enjoy your freedom. So many people in this world, they don't have freedoms. They can't do these sort of things. They're stuck inside, and if they go outside, there's only certain places they're allowed to go. And, oh, what a terrible thing. And so we're certainly fortunate for that, and we enjoy it. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together to open the Scriptures. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide us, lead us, and teach us as we make our hearts open to thy Scriptures and the Word of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Up here we've got our study, which is moving on. We're under part 9, and it's really going well, and I'm really excited about this. I've learned so much myself, and it seems like every time we start a new study, there seems to be some big opening that at least is, for me, something very significant and important in understanding the Scriptures rightly divided. So let's just go to Acts 15. I want you to just get you warmed up to this study, and we're going to move right into it pretty quickly here. So Romans 15, this really sets up the place of where Romans was written during the time of the book of Acts. So Romans 15 basically is it for understanding what's going on with when Romans was written. So Romans 15, in verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now, it's so interesting when you read this, that here Paul is talking about his ministry, and he's talking about his distinctive ministry during this time, right? That he was separated by God for a ministry to the Jew first, and after looking and dealing with the Jews, then would go to the Gentiles. And what he would do is, he would certainly respect the place of the Gentiles, but he would use this ministry to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And he goes on, he says, verse 19, through mighty signs. Well, contextually here, there's no doubt in the wide world what the context of this is. All right? This is an Acts context through mighty signs. Now, you've got to make your own mind up about this. You're either going to say that the signs and the wonders that you read about in the book of Acts is going on today, or it's not. Right? Clearly, I think there's very strong evidence that these signs and wonders that Paul was involved with simply are not happening today. I mean, these go as far as resurrections, man. Resurrections. When's the last time you went to a resurrection? No. You go down until God says, come forth, you're down. All right? God's going to have to say that one. But in the time of the book of Acts, there were resurrections. Man, the ultimate miracle, right? And it goes on and it says here in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit worked in hugely miraculous ways in that time. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum. Now that you find out where Illyricum is, that's going right up from Macedonia on the western side of that little peninsula as you go up through Greece there. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So he's very distinct here. He's very careful not to go where someone else has preached. That's unusual in itself, don't you think? He's very careful. And he says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. And this, of course, is part of Paul's mission. It wasn't not a part from the Old Testament at this time. It was a part of the revelation given to the prophets that he would go to the Gentiles. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Oh, there is a hindrance. There is a lot of hindrance here. And he's talking about coming to you, that is the Romans. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire that these many years to come unto you. No more place in these parts. Well, he says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I have fully preached. Yeah, there's no more place for it. He's done that job, and now what he's looking forward to is coming to the Romans. Where, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. Oh, wait a minute. So this is very interesting, don't you think? So now the visit to Rome is set in a context. The visit to Rome is set in the context of a bigger journey to Spain. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. Who's the you? The Romans. The Roman Christians. Yeah, I'm going on my way to Spain. And on my way, I want to visit you, and you are going to help me on my way to fulfill this ministry to Spain. That's remarkable, don't you think? Now, we know he has not made it to Rome yet. He's writing this to us. He hasn't made it yet. And he says in verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Oh, okay. So I'm going to Jerusalem because, guess what? The Gentiles who are partaking of Israel's spiritual things, it's only right that they would minister to the Jews, you know, from their carnal things. The Gentiles are taking the spiritual things. So it's only right that now they take care of the Jews' carnal things. Okay, so he's got this contribution, which is coming from Macedonia, the saints there at Macedonia, to give to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Right? This is what the context here is. Verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you. Again, he repeats this. I will come by you into Spain. That means at the writing of this, he had not made it to Rome. And of course, by context and extension, to Spain. He hasn't been there either. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing of Christ. That's how he's going to come. And the fullness of the blessing of Christ we have just read about, right at verse 18 and 19, which involves signs and wonders, man. Signs and wonders. That's the Acts context. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my services which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Okay, that's really important to see. So he is going to take this offering to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, his prayer is that this offering would be accepted. Why wouldn't it be accepted? Well, you see, this is the problem to do with the inclusion of the Gentiles. And that many would not accept this. And in their pride, possibly would not even accept a gift from them. Right? It's quite possible. This is the context, man. This is really interesting. Now, if you go back here, let me just take you back in the book of Acts so we can see some of this contextual stuff. And see, if you don't understand what we're talking about here, about right division of Paul's ministry, you'll come to Romans and you'll say, oh, look at the signs and the wonders are operational, and the Romans is all about doctrine that is to us. You'll make these assumptions. And from there, you will get hoodwinked into all sorts of ideas and beliefs which will entrap you. And you'll try and manifest signs and wonders today to your chagrin. Let's go across here to Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. It says this, And these things, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia. Now in that region there, Macedonia and Achaia, you got an easy deliverance into Illyricum. He had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So it's very clear intention here, as you'll find in Romans 1:10, that he intended all the time to go to Rome. Well, then he hadn't been to Rome. Right? He hadn't been to Rome yet. And the intention in Romans was also, when he wrote this, to go to Rome. He hadn't been there. So the writing of the book of Romans must have taken place before going to Rome. You see the point? It's quite clear. Okay, so you see that. And then by the way, we're now in the third missionary journey, as we're reading in the book of Acts. If you go across to Acts 21... and Acts 21 verse 15, it says this. It says, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason and of Cyprus, and an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, etc. So this is now that they're coming to Jerusalem. And you can read all the way down to verse 21. And verse 21 says, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. And there is no discussion about the good offering that came from Macedonia. There's nothing there. What's being taken up is the addressing of this business of the law. See the accusation. And see, you can see why in Romans 15 and verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. There's no discussion of the offering here. Why? Because all of his time now is being taken up with trying to defend himself against these false charges concerning the law and all these things. So it's a very fascinating thing. Okay, context. Romans, Book of Acts, signs and wonders, all of these things related to the nation of Israel. So, what are we getting in here? What are we starting to see? Well, what we're starting to see here is that Romans was written in the Acts somewhere. Okay, here it is. And it would have been most likely written right at the conclusion of the third missionary journey. And so here we have Romans, okay. And right near the end here, what do we have? Signs and wonders, man. Signs and wonders. Does it fit with the book of Acts? Of course it does. Beautifully fits with the book of Acts. Fits exactly with his missionary journey, returning from the third missionary journey, going to Jerusalem, then being taken up with all these charges, and then finally finding himself in jail and in Caesarea, and then from there going on his way to Rome. To Rome. Okay, cool. So the important point I want to make is that this little discussion I have is very strong evidence for the conclusion that Romans is written in the book of Acts. And therefore we are not going to divorce its teaching from the book of Acts. Oh no, we're not going to do that. We understand that the hope of Israel is manifest during this time. Yes, of course he's going to the Gentiles. Of course he's doing these things. He is grafting in to the olive tree, this wild olive, to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. That's what's going on here. Okay, cool. Now, better get moving. So today we need to look at these things. The writing of the book of Galatians, we started with looking at Romans. You can see it's contextually fitting in here at the end of the third missionary journey. The Jerusalem visits, Acts 15, and another look at this expression, at the first. And then re-look at Acts 28. So Jerusalem, if you look at a concordance of the word Jerusalem, it's mentioned these places here in the book of Acts. And there are some very significant times where it's mentioned. And I want you to just notice this up here, which is one of Welsh's tables. You get the first visit. Now let's just have a look at this with me. Have a look at Galatians chapter 1. Let's see whether you can see the importance of the Jerusalem visits. It's very significant because it meshes with Romans, it meshes with Galatians, and also 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So if you look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles. So after he had this tremendous miraculous visitation by the Lord on his road, on the road to Damascus, he says this, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he didn't go to Jerusalem, he goes into Arabia and then he returns to Damascus, not Jerusalem, to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. So after 3 years, after he's coming back to Damascus from Arabia, he spends 3 years and then he goes up to Jerusalem, okay, to see Peter. Okay, cool. So the first visit you can find there mentioned in Acts 9, 26 to 30. Right? There it is. And there here it's mentioned in Galatians. Okay. And then as it goes on, verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Interesting how he says, I lie not. There are obviously lies around Paul and his ministry. Even people who feigned letters from Paul so that he had to put his own personal signature on the epistles in his original documents. He would write by hand there because people would try and pretend to be Paul. And at this time, Paul is always emphasizing that he doesn't lie. This is something you need to pay a special attention to. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Stop there. He preaches the faith which once he destroyed. That means that faith that he destroyed, he is now continuing, which means that the people who had the beliefs that he was persecuting, those beliefs he had adopted. There's a continuance, therefore, of the Acts message right from the early stages of Acts into Paul. He preached the same faith. All right, now he goes on. And they glorify God in me, chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. Second visit, right? 14 years after. And you read about that in Acts 11, 29, 30. Okay? And this is before the first missionary journey. And then the third visit has a context. Let's go there. Look at Acts 15. Okay? So we're getting some context here. Let's have a look at Acts 15. And verse 2. Okay, now, just before we get into 15, just go back just to the last verses of the previous chapter, 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's when he had just come back from his first missionary journey. And there they abode, look at the expression, long time. Okay, this is chapter 14, verse 28. They abode long time with the disciples. Long time. And then what happens in chapter 15? And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Oh man, the same stuff all the time, isn't it? The Jews have always got this thing about performing the law, and if you don't perform the law, you cannot be saved. You have to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul is having to deal with this. And he says, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, that means they had a ding-dong argument, man. You talk about shadow boxing. No, this is the real thing. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, they respect the elders. They respected the elders, but they certainly were not going to let this go. This could not go. It was inconsistent with the teaching that Paul received by revelation from Jesus Christ. Not going to let this go. It's a good warning for us, right? Certain things, we're just not going to let go. Sorry. We're just not going to let it go. We're going to fight over this. Now, I'm going to say fight. I don't mean that we're going to do it in the flesh. We're going to bring forth argument. We're going to show you from the scriptures, rightly divide, why these things are so. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And you can read about this. Okay, so as time goes by in this, this is where you get this whole declaration. You know, you get this interesting thing where Peter gets up, James gets up, Paul and Barnabas, they do their thing. And then there are letters that are made and they are addressed and shown that, yeah, that's right. The Gentiles are not under all this stuff. There's certain necessary things. Keep yourselves from idols, from fornication. But you're not under these lawful dietary things, etc., etc. Okay, cool. So, this is interesting. Why? Because when you get to Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians, one of the central issues is all about the law. And Paul, if he had these letters that had been written in Acts 15, if he had them, he would surely use them. But he doesn't use them. And this is indirect evidence that Galatians was written prior to Acts 15. You say, when? Well, the best place we can get it, as far as I can see, right? The best place to get it would be in Acts 14 and verse 28. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Here is a perfect place for Paul to sit down and write this letter to the Galatians. Whenever it was definitely written, whenever in truth it was written, it's very clearly going to be in the book of Acts early on. So we get this occurring. Now, there's other places where you can go down and find places where he visits Jerusalem, and you can see how this impacts on Romans, for example. Okay, carrying on. There's another expression here. In Galatians 4:13, it says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." And there's nothing wrong with this translation. I agree with this translation. At the first. Now, if you look at this at least on the surface, at the first would mean at least a second. If there's a first, there's got to be at least a second. Okay? So, from this, many, including myself, would say it's very likely then that there would be two visits. Now, two visits to the Galatian assembly. But we remember assemblies. But remember that we when we look at the map and we see how Paul moved for the first missionary journey, there was a returning, right? He goes through all these towns of Galatia and then he comes back. And that would be two visits. However, re-looking at this, if you look at the use of this expression, adverbial, look at John 6:62. "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Where he was before. So, you know, you could just look at this here. If you took how that was translated, instead of saying at the first, you could say where he was. Unto you, he says, "Of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you previously." You could use a translation like that. You wouldn't need to press the idea of a first. But whether you pressed first or whether you just took it previously, the back and forth in the first missionary journey would take this into consideration. I'm just showing you that some people would argue against this first and say, oh, that sort of minimizes your argument. It doesn't, because it will work either way. The translation either way will work with the interpretation I'm giving you. And so this is, you know, I'm just showing you, reminding you again about how that the first missionary journey, there was a going and a coming, where the trail sort of overlapped. Okay, cool. Barnabas. So I'm just pointing out some other things that people often do when they're trying to get when books were written. You remember in Acts 15:39 there was a bit of a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, and there was a dividing of the ways. But if you look in Galatians, it says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas," and then down here, "and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas." See, Barnabas and Paul are together here. So does that reflect on in any great degree when this was written? No, because the thing is, Paul can talk about things that happen in history. He can do that. It's not going to really impact too much on our implication about when this was written. But nonetheless, it's very interesting. So here you can see some very interesting things about Galatians. Okay, so right after the third visit to Jerusalem, or round about that time rather, around about the time of the third Jerusalem visit, you get the Galatians. This is where Welsh has placed it. It's kind of uncertain, I guess. I put it a little bit before because there's this nice long time there where you could place it. But nonetheless, early, very early on. Then as you come down, you can find other epistles. Notice Romans that we had just looked at. And Romans is interesting because he writes this not having visited Rome. So it's in the book of Acts. Then I'm pointing out these ideas about when the mystery was revealed and the fact that later on Paul was accused of being an evil worker. And that would fit well with when he would be killed. Okay, and this is his third missionary journey. I'm just showing you how he gets into Achaia and Macedonia, and from here he could make visits to Illyricum. Now, I'm just pointing out some of the things that Welsh has said and just show you how what he has said fits in with what I'm saying. All it says here, the evidences for the exact dating of these prison and pastoral epistles are not sufficient to enable anyone to dogmatize. So that's good, right? He's not going to be dogmatic about the exact dates of when things were written. Okay, cool. I understand that. All that we feel can be said with some measure of confidence is that 1 Timothy and Titus were written in the interval of freedom that intervened between the 2 years at Rome, when Paul was treated as a military prisoner and allowed some measure of liberty. Nice. So here we have Welsh admitting and agreeing to the idea that when Paul was put in prison in Acts 28, there was a time later when he was made free. Right? Which I certainly believe. I certainly believe that that is the case. And here are the epistles, right, that are written after the revelation of the mystery. Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Colossians. Then here we have these two, which seem to be written during a period of freedom. And then when he's called the evil worker, kakurgos, 2 Timothy, here he's in prison. And the next thing, of course, is he has his head taken off. He's killed, he's executed there. Okay. Now, there's evidences that after this period, that from Acts 28, that he did in fact come to Spain. And this comes from Clement's letter. And he talks about the having taught righteousness to the whole world and having reached the farthest limit of the West. Now, the farthest limits of the West, he's talking about Paul's missionary journey after Acts 28. The farthest limits of the West would be Spain. Then coming over here, this is a writing known as the Muratorian Canon. And in that, it says this, when he journeyed to Spain. So AD 170, there's a record that he did go to Spain. Okay. Now, this here is an article that's on rightdivision.com. And what you should do is just check this thing out, okay? And it'll give you some good ideas about what's going on. And I want to show you something which I think a lot of Acts 28ers are going to sort of find difficult to swallow on. But nonetheless, I think it's totally biblical. Now watch this. This is Matthew 22. Open your Bibles to Matthew 22 with me. And let's just have a look at this and see if you can see the tremendous significance of what I'm saying here. And once you agree that this is the truth, it's really a big eye-opener. Matthew 22. Now, this is all about the parable of the marriage of the king's son. So in chapter 22:1, it says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, and then here it comes, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. So this is the parable concerning the marriage of the king's son, and sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now notice the way it's expressed. Call them that were bidden to the wedding. So there's a call going to those who were bidden. There's a call going to those who were called. They were already called. They were already called. It says, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. And the word bidden there means to be called. And to the wedding. And they would not come. No, not interested. Will not come. Boy, that's some group of people, right? Just won't come. Again, he sent forth other servant, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. So here's the first calling to those that were bidden, those that were called. Here's the second one. We're just reading about the second one, right? I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Okay, all things are ready. Got no excuse this time, man. Got no excuse. All things are ready. Now, if all things are ready, you notice in the context, you've got the fatlings killed, right? Everything's ready. Jesus has died on the cross at Calvary. Here we have the Acts ministry going on here. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Man, you can read about that in the book of Acts, right? That stuff's going on. And then it says in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Oh, wait a minute, that's AD 70. We got that. We got that. That's a time in history. Well, wait a minute. We have done enough study in the book of Acts to know that the end of the book of Acts, as an upper bound, you've got this Nero thing, right? And that's before AD 70. So look what you have here. You have the Acts 28 end of 2 years, and then sometime after this, you've got to have the mystery being revealed. But the mystery has got to be revealed before AD 70. Paul's dead before AD 70. So now what you've got is you've got the mystery being revealed during this time, which is outlined in Matthew's gospel, according to this second invitation that went out. Right? Do you see this? Which means that really you do not want to think of the Acts of the Apostles as ending at Acts 28. What you want to think of is that there is a continuation of the ministry going on in the book of Acts, done by Paul. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Okay, let's quickly go to Acts 28 and see whether you can follow what I'm saying here. This is cool. This is very, very cool. This is the rock and roll, friends. Acts 28. And verse 23, it says this, and when they had appointed him a day, this is the Jews, right? The leaders now of the Jews in Rome, right? Remember, Paul's intention, as he had said in Romans 15, that he would come by them on his way to Spain, and they would supply his material needs so he could fulfill that ministry going on to Spain. We've got some evidence that he went to Spain. It's not rock solid. It's part of the history that we can find, secular history, right? Okay, but this is solid here, right? And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified, the kingdom of God. What kingdom of God is he talking about here? Is he giving them now the revelation of the mystery which was hidden God? Clearly not. No. This is a continuation of that which he had preached beforehand. And he's continuing this. And he says, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He just cracked open the Old Testament, and that's his message, man. That's his message. Now, my message to you is not cracking open the Old Testament. You know that. My message to you is to crack open Paul's ministry from prison, because I've come to recognize something about his prison ministry that tells me he's got a special message for us in this age, the revelation of the mystery. But wait a minute, this that's going on here, this ministry that Paul's got going on here concerning the kingdom of God, comes straight out of the Old Testament. Okay, cool. Verse 24, some believed the things that were spoken, Some believe not. Oh, they all disbelieved. No. Well, the majority disbelieved. There's nothing in here that says the majority disbelieved. You see the point I'm making? Just some believed, some disbelieved. Okay. I mean, it could be right down the line, 50-50, couldn't it? Who knows? And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, shall not understand, seeing shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. What will they hear? What message? Wait a minute. Just stay in the context of Acts. Do not go out to the book of Ephesians and Colossians and try and import something into here. Let's stay here, shall we, for once? Look what it says. Be it known, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. Now, tell me whether I'm wrong. Tell me whether I'm wrong. Paul is saying, this is my interpretation of this. Paul is saying, you Jews, generally speaking, not all of you, but generally speaking, you can't agree with all this. You're not agreeing with this message that I got out of the Old Testament concerning the kingdom of God. And therefore, I'm going to send it to the Gentiles. And they're going to hear it. Is this a perversion on my part? Do you think? Do you think I'm reading into this? Well, my friends, when you start to agree with what I'm saying to you, then a line has come on the sand, I'm afraid. It's come on the sand. Whether you want to recognize it or not, there's quite a big line. And it says, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Again, it doesn't mean to say that they all disagree with Paul. We've already got it said that some believe what he said. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. What kind of prison is this? And he says, preaching the kingdom of God. Now, why should I make this kingdom of God any different to the kingdom of God that he talks about in verse 23? Why should I do that? It's the same context. And then it goes on, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Full stop. No man forbidding him. Okay, the Roman authorities have not stepped in. Nero obviously is not saying, oh, you better get rid of these Christians, because if he did, this wouldn't happen. There would be hindrance. So what do we have here at verse 31? We have a continuance into what I call Acts 29. And off he goes. He spends some time there, yes, and off he goes, off on his way to Spain. And at some stage, he gets the revelation of the mystery. Before AD 70. Somewhere in here, right? Right at the end. Just prior to AD 70, he gets this revelation. After the book of Acts, into what I call Acts 29, he gets this revelation. And he writes it down. And he puts it to the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Philippians. At some stage, he has liberty. But then 2 Timothy comes, and he's a kakugos, and bang, he gets killed. Don't you think this is getting a bit interesting, friends? This is starting to get a little bit interesting. Now, there are going to be some pushback from a lot of people, because people who have accepted one thing for a while and they hear something different, I don't want to have this, you know. I like what I believe, don't bother me with details. But my friends, when you accept the scriptures rightly divided and you see something in here that's true, you're going to get further light. If you go against it, my experience, the switches go off. You know what I'm saying? The switches will go off. So I think it's best for us to just say, yeah, I think there's pretty good evidence here for what's being said. Let's see what else comes on. See what else we can learn. Well, I've got more to say about this. There's more here. Please go to rightdivision.com, find the articles on Acts 28:29, and you'll see more evidence for this. There's a lot more that I've written, and there's a lot more for me to write. Evidence for what I'm saying. Very strong evidence. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, Lord, and all that we have learnt in the Scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to study to rightly divide the word of truth, that we would be workmen that would not be ashamed in Thy sight. We pray for the country, Lord, and we think of the tremendous pressures of evil there is to try and take away our liberties and freedom in this country, Lord. We pray that we would see leaders come up. We ask, Lord, that we would support these leaders that are right before Thee, and that in our way we can voice our opinion and speak the truth in love. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.